Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, and all rise. He did it. The judge matches the babe in a frenetic final inning. Wait until you see how this happened last night. Dan, Dak, back sooner than we thought. What his stunning return might mean for the suddenly strapped NFC East. And then, when will they pull the plug in Pittsburgh? The fans are ready. Is it time for the coach to listen? We've got answers to those and other questions as we get up with you. Starting right now, jam-packed on a fired-up Wednesday. Look at the squad. Kmart's here. Heather's made her way uptown. Dominic and Chris Canty are here. We're all the way downtown. I'm too excited to talk. Why? Because of what happened in the Bronx last night. Here we go. Take us to the place where it happened. Yankees, Pirates, ninth inning. Yanks down 8-4. Aaron Judge sitting on 59. The Maris family in attendance. Michael Kay at the mic. All rise.
For Judge, and here's the 3-1. Joe deep to left field. There it goes. Number 60. Slide over, babe. You got some company. Aaron James Judge has tied George Herman Babe Ruth with 60 home runs.
Look at the fans chasing after the baseball. A judge taking the curtain call on historic moment. We'll hear from him in a moment. But wait, the Yankees are still down 8-5. But they weren't done. The next batter is Anthony Rizzo, and that's a rope to left center. Now the Yankees are stringing hits together. Then Gleyber Torres would walk, so there's first and second, and Josh Donaldson would come to the plate. And Judge is thinking to himself, maybe this could turn into a special night in a lot of ways. That one is going to get down. Rizzo is going to be held at third. The Yankees have the bases loaded. There's still nobody out. Michael Kay is back on the call. Giancarlo Stanton at the plate with the bases loaded. Giancarlo, no si pusta parlo. Here we go.
That one's drilled to left field. Is it high enough? See ya! A walk-off grand slam, and the Yankees win. Judge hit 60, and the Yankees win in walk-off fashion.
Now, how about that night at the ballpark? Aaron Judge, the first one to celebrate. Stanton hits the home run. The Yankees win as Judge makes history. What a night at Yankee Stadium. Hey, Aaron Judge, your thoughts on your company?
I don't think about it. I don't think about the numbers. And, you know, when you talk about Ruth and Maris and Mantle and all these, you know, Yankees greats that, you know, did so many great things in this game. You know, you never imagine as a kid, you know, getting mentioned with them. But, you know, it's an incredible honor.
So Judge hits 60 in the 147th game of the season. That is the fewest games to reach that mark in American League history. The only players in baseball history to get there in fewer games are Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire. And we all understand that there are certain circumstances surrounding those. And with that thought in mind, here's Robert Stanberry, only the third. So, Buster, how do we put into perspective the meaning of Judge's 60 home runs in this moment in time?
Yeah, Greeny, this is the greatest single-season performance by any hitter in the history of baseball because of how difficult hitting has become. This is what my conversation was yesterday with Mike Trout. Even since the beginning of his career in 2011, he mentioned the advent of analytics, how teams search for weaknesses in hitters, all the relievers, and everybody throwing harder than ever, and yet in the second half of the season, Aaron Judge hitting .372, a .506 on base percentage, .853 slugging percentage in 54 games in the second half, Greeny, 27 home runs. So not only does he have a chance now to break Roger Maris's single season record for home runs in the American League, but right now he's on pace to win a triple crown. It's absolutely incredible. We've never seen anything like it.
So it might be the best offensive season we've ever seen. How about specifically the meaning of 60? I'm having such a difficult time myself trying to put into perspective, understanding the extenuating circumstances that exist with any player who's ever hit more than 61. And everyone has the right to sort of put that in their own minds however they choose to. That's the part of this I'm trying to get to. What do we say about the meaning of his 60, and should he get there 62?
60 home runs in the current circumstance for Aaron Judge is as great a pressure performance as I think we've ever seen in any sport. When you think about it, on the eve of the season, he turns down the Yankees' $213.5 million deal. He's booed in Yankee Stadium early in the season as he hits one home run in his first 55 plate appearances, and yet he just continues to plow along like a metronome month after month, performing even better under these difficult circumstances that we've talked about. This huge bet on himself, and as the season's gone on, he's gained momentum. It's absolutely remarkable, and let's face it, I think for a lot of baseball fans, he'll be considered the greatest single-season home run hitter ever because of the PED links to Bonds, to McGuire, to Sosa.
Yeah, we can talk about that at length on the radio a little later today. One final thought here, because this is something I'm sure a lot of baseball fans are thinking about. You mentioned the contract that he turned down. I mean, now he walks into an offseason with pretty startling leverage. Are we still in a world where Judge is going to break this record or create this number and then leave the Yankees this winter?
Absolutely, because there's going to be an opportunity this winter for an owner of another team to throw a huge number out there, and we don't know if the Yankees will chase that. So if another team like the Giants throws $350 million at him, will the Yankees wave the white flag and increase their offer by 60-70%? And here's the other factor too, Greeny. We don't know what Aaron Judge really wants. We know that he turned down the Yankees' offer in the spring. He never countered. Maybe he wants to play with the San Francisco Giants. Maybe he wants to go for $350 million or the biggest contract ever. But this winner, I mean, this bet on himself is going to pay off in a huge way.
He is a California kid. He grew up there. He went to college out there. We'll see if that's what he decides to do. Buster, we'll talk on the radio later today. Thank you for the perspective. Again, Aaron Judge hit 60 home runs and counting last night. The NFL is our next stop, and we begin in Dallas. Without Dak Prescott, the Cowboys beat the Bengals Sunday behind Cooper Rush. Yesterday on his radio show, Jerry Jones said he thinks we might see Dak back much sooner than expected.
I do know that I think after a good airing out last week, everybody recognizes that he'll be back sooner rather than later as far as the timeline. And it really could be a minimal of 2 weeks up here in my mind. Now, that's very optimistic. He's got the kind of repair there that will allow him not to have a lot of fear about re-injuring. It's just a question of the grip. But it's a big question.
So, I mean, Jerry Jones has made billions of dollars by being optimistic. He's the man who told you in his world, 1 + 1 = 3. And right now,
math, right?
Maybe he's right. All right, so Dak comes back. Again, I said this last week, when everyone in the world was writing them off, they've got the Giants and the Commanders in the next
when
2 weeks.
Everyone was writing them off. Greeny was the one pounding his fist on the table.
The voice of reason.
Telling you that Dallas was still alive.
In this particular instance, the world was wrong, and Greeny was right. And so the point is, I'll take it a step farther. They're going to beat both the Giants and the Commanders in the next 2 weeks, and the Cowboys are going to go into that game with the Eagles right on the heels of this Philly team the world is in love with Dak coming back. Jerry's going to wind up being right. How about it?
I see the logic there. I see the thread of logic, but the Giants aren't the same Giants under Brian Daboll. Like, I'm surprised that after the Giants are 2-0 and we've seen the Giants put up fight, that you are so ready to say that Dallas, they're going to come in and they're going to beat the Giants. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I will say, for the Cowboys' sake, this is great news. Having Dak, they're clearly better with Dak. We saw what life without Dak was like. It was not pretty. And they play in the division that makes it easy for them to still be in the hunt.
Chris Canty, the point was made yesterday that with Cooper Rush on the field, mm-hmm. that maybe we saw the template for what they should be even when Dak returns, that they do not have the weapons. It was RG3 who was here yesterday making this point, yep. that they don't have the weapons to be the pass-happy team, regardless of who their quarterback is, and that by focusing heavily on their running game behind Zeke and Pollard, that regardless of who, and obviously they're better when Dak is there, but that is the recipe for success for the Cowboys. You agree or disagree?
No, I agree, and I think Dak needs to do a better job of playing within the structure of the offense and not focus on trying to be a force multiplier. You don't have the skill position players that you had once upon a time, and so if Dak is able to come back in the next couple of weeks, I do think that he keeps the Cowboys' playoff hopes and division title hopes alive. Mm-hmm. But make no mistake about it, the identity for the Dallas Cowboys, if that's going to happen, if they're going to win the NFC East, it has to be the defense, and it has to be because of Micah Parsons, because the guy is an absolute game wrecker. And Greeny, you know this, I said it back this spring, Micah Parsons is the best defensive player in all of football. Well, people were basking in the glow of Aaron Donald winning a chip. I said, this dude is the second coming of Lawrence Taylor. And if you don't believe me, check the Get Up archives, because Micah Parsons is that good. He's a special talent. And if the Cowboys have any chance at being competitive this year, it's going to have to be because of him, not Dak Prescott.
How does it feel, Dominique, to be sitting in between two geniuses?
It's amazing.
Nostradamuses, you know, out here.
Chris Canty and I both brought receipts on this day.
We watched Micah Parsons play last year, so I'm sorry, Chris. We all saw that. We all knew it. You, on the other hand, Greeny, I was dead wrong. You were right about this. Your projection on the Cowboys still being in it was important and was right. I didn't think so, but I do acknowledge that not only is Dak's talent going to help them, but I think the psychic rewards of having him come back does boost this team mm-hmm. some. Cooper Rush keeping them afloat is important, and the point that you brought up about that RG3 said yesterday about playing inside the structure of this offense is a huge one, because they believe that Dak is so good that getting him out there with the ball and letting him do whatever he wants is what's right for this team, but I don't think that they have the talent to support him in that way. So asking him to be great on fewer downs than they did in week one, I think it's better for everybody.
You also just said an interesting thing, the psychic reward.
Yeah.
That might be why Jerry is saying all this. I don't know that he's really coming back in a week or two, mm-hmm. but maybe Jerry is putting that thought out there, even because of the psychological boost it might give in his own locker room, the idea that Dak might be that close.
I absolutely think so, and that's the next frontier of sports that we have not figured out. We analyze everything, but we don't understand the psychology of the athletes, and Jerry Jones, maybe he doesn't either, but he knows that if he says positive things, that's better than coming out and saying, ho-hum, season's over. He has to say that.
Yeah.
And it's important that the players believe that. And it seems like they do. And it all goes back to what Chris was just saying. That defense is really good right now because of one man.
Right.
And that one man is allowing everyone else to play well, keeping the score down, which allows this team to put together a smaller offensive production. If you think about this team last several years, we were more focused on what they could do offensively
right.
than what they can do defensively.
Right.
Yeah, but we knew they were going to struggle on the offensive side of things this year coming into this season. Their offense is as suspect as the Yankees' bullpen. That's how bad it is, because although they have the best run block win rate, they have the worst pass block win rate. And so you worry about them being able to keep whoever's playing quarterback upright. But what made what Cooper Rush did special on Sunday is that he got the ball out on time. Against the blitz, he was 7-8, including one touchdown. Dak has got to focus on getting the ball out of his hands quickly to try to protect that offensive line that's struggling.
I have 15 seconds. Kmart, what's the answer to the question on the screen? Can the Cowboys still win that division?
Can they? Yeah, but I think the Eagles would have to be decimated by injuries or implode.
Okay, well,
so the answer's
which
no.
means
the
there's a chance.
No, exactly.
Jerry Jones just heard you say there's a very good chance this happens. Coming up, is it time to ditch Mitch? When will they pull the plug in Pittsburgh? The fans are ready. Should the coach be listening? We'll answer that question coming up as they get set to play on Thursday night. Plus, we talked about Jalen Hurts. His huge Monday night certainly got the attention of many, including Jerry Jones. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? We'll answer that question as we roll on. Big day, get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We're back on Get Up. Let's play a game of fact or fiction. Hey, Kimberly Martin, if I said the Bucks are the team to beat in the NFC, would that be fact or fiction?
Greeny, I would say fact. I think logic actually says it should be the Rams because they're the defending Super Bowl champion. But when you've got the GOAT on your team, I think every team is looking at the Bucks as the standard. And the Bucks, Brady came back just to win a Super Bowl. So if you can knock them off, that means everything.
And the defense is exceptional. Canty, let's go to the AFC. If I said Russell Wilson's best days are behind him, is that fact or fiction?
Gee, this is fiction right here. 2 years ago, Russell Wilson threw for 40 touchdowns at 69% completion percentage. Now, last year he was on pace to throw for north of 30, but he had the thumb injury, kept him out a few games. I like Russell Wilson. I just don't like his head coach. And good players can't overcome bad coaching. It's going to affect the production. That's got to be a concern. But, No, he's still got good football in front of him.
Nate Hackett struggling so far. He doesn't deserve Nathaniel. Nate, the Steelers should change quarterbacks if Mitch Trubisky struggles this week. Fact or fiction?
Fiction. I mean, it's not so much because I believe in Mitch. It's because we talk so much about how young quarterbacks can be ruined. Why would you want to put Kenny Pickett in behind that offensive line? Until they get this offensive line right, I think they should let Mitch go out there and unfortunately deal with the struggles. And it's not because there's some high-end rewards you're going to get from Mitch, but bring Kenny in when it's time to bring him in, when you can protect him.
So you're saying you think Trubisky should be the sheep that remains led to the slaughter, or rather the lamb, or whatever it is you lead to a slaughter. Let's hear from Trubisky himself, because the world is sort of getting antsy here. He's talking himself about the improvements he needs to make. Listen.
I just got to get these playmakers of football, whether it's whatever route they're running, I just got to get them the ball. So it really comes down to me making better decisions, being aggressive, and putting ourselves in that position.
Well, listen, I mean, the fans have run out of patience. If you don't believe me, listen to this. Heather Dinich, who's the quarterback? Who should the quarterback of the Steelers be?
Kenny Pickett.
Hello.
If you've got two guys running a race, you keep the slower guy in there, see if he can finish it. No, you don't. You put your speedy guy in there.
Kmart, I mean, there does seem to be some logic. They play Thursday night this week against the Browns. They play tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. So that creates like the little mini buy that you get after a Thursday. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make a quarterback change, that might seem like a logical time to do it. Is his leash short enough that if tomorrow night goes badly, it could be over?
So we even saw in the preseason the chance for Kenny Pickett, and you understood that the leash for Mitch was going to be short just to start the season. So it's on Mitch to keep the rookie at bay. Here's the thing. They've got 10 days after they play the Browns. They face your New York Jets.
Correct.
You could say, oh, why not put Kenny Pickett in against the Jets, okay?
Yeah.
However, the schedule after that gets really tough. At Buffalo, Tampa Bay, at Miami, at Philly, and then their bye week. I think the bye week, if I'm the Steelers, that's where I'm looking at. And not just because I'm wearing my Pollens today. But if I'm the Steelers, that's where I look and insert Kenny.
What do you think, Canty?
Yeah, it's time for Kenny Pickett. I mean, how many times do we have to see the Mitch Trubisky movie before we recognize that he's not the solution to the problems that Pittsburgh Steelers offense is having? I'm not saying that he's the genesis of all the issues, but he certainly can't help them figure it out. And that's why I look at a guy like Kenny Pickett, a player that spent 5 years in college,
yes,
and that's 24 years old. I think it's right for him to have an opportunity to step in there and see if he can operate the offense at a higher level.
Can I just counter with... I'm all for rookies actually sitting. Because you threw out Justin Fields, right? And now their question's like, I don't know, is Justin Fields, can he actually figure it out? I think when you put the kids in, if they struggle, then it changes how media looks at them. I think you have to look at their development. It's not just about this season. It's about you drafted this guy. Yes, Steelers fan.
But Kenny Pickett played in a pro-style offense at Pitt. He's ready and he knows what to do. And I think he's got some familiarity with the offense. And I can tell you this from talking to some sources there, that the guys on the team like Kenny Pickett.
That's
and so that
problem.
Has to be impacting how Mitch is playing. He's clearly not comfortable in the pocket, he's playing for his job.
Listen, if the best argument you can make for leaving Trubisky on the field is the offensive line is so bad, let him get beat up instead of the other guy. After week two, when the division, what we thought might be a juggernaut of a division, suddenly looks like it might sort of be wide open, I kind of have to lean towards the Pickets at the table.
Who the hell do you guys think Kenny Pickett is?
I know who he ain't. He's Trubisky. I know who he ain't.
A first-round draft pick towards the end of the first round. I don't think that you can drop a quarterback into a bad offensive line and it's just going to overcome. There's some players, then there's one player, Lamar Jackson. He's the guy where I think you can put him in a bad situation and it'll get a lot better. Kenny Pickett is athletic, but he's not that. So putting Kenny Pickett in now, the results, I believe, are going to look very similar to the results that you're getting now. And not only do you lose games, but you potentially lose Kenny Pickett because you put him out there to get attacked week after week.
Look at you making sense on a Wednesday.
Well, let's give him a shot and see if he can rectify some of these problems against Myles Garrett. And if he can't, then
exactly.
Let's go ahead and make the change.
Exactly.
Steelers fans everywhere.
Yeah. Again, that's the point. They play tomorrow night.
Yes.
It's a Thursday night game against Cleveland. And then they have that. Again, I know
it's
you're waiting
days,
for
yeah.
a bye, but there's a little bit of a mini bye here.
Mm-hmm.
I have been a Trubisky believer. When I was right, I told you I was right. When I'm wrong, I'll tell you I was wrong. I believed that Mitch Trubisky could revive his career. So far, it's been a disaster. It's been an unbridled disaster in Pittsburgh. That was a terrible win offensively in week one, and then they just a no-show against New England. I would be running out of patience, too.
Think about this, G. It took them 70 minutes in week one in a game where their defense generated 5 turnovers
Correct.
And a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was. If you look at their offense against the New England Patriots, it was god-awful. Only the Chicago Bears had fewer first downs per game than the Pittsburgh Steelers. At some point, you have to look at it and say, if we can't get this thing turned around under Mitch Trubisky, at least we can put Kenny Pickett out there knowing that even if we're not winning games, we get the on-the-job training, the experience that the young kid will then use to be able to develop. So all I'm saying is this. Football is a game that has to be you have to develop players by putting them in the actual game and getting them those opportunities, and it feels like it's the right time for Pickett.
They may literally be one game / 2 days away from making a quarterback
change. Joe Burrow's offensive line wasn't right last year either.
Let's base our decision on aberrations.
Well, we're seeing it more and more with young quarterbacks. We are.
Overcoming bad offensive lines?
We are seeing that.
You named one guy in the history of professional football that's overcome a bad offensive line.
Okay.
Put Kenny Pickett out there. Results are not going to change.
But let us point out that a lot of great quarterbacks did have very difficult rookie years. They went in the Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning, and they learned from them. There's two different ways that can go. And the Steelers, while the offensive line is struggling, they're not a terrible football team.
Not at all.
And you got to make the throws, too.
Listen,
is the offensive line. You got to make the throws.
And your quarterback is admitting that he's missing receivers.
No, right. He's being a leader.
Mitch Trubisky is admitting he's missing receivers.
Heather is going to give us some college insight as we continue. She's not here today just shilling yinz or catnip. I'm telling you that right now. But we will get to all that in a couple of minutes. We will also get to this. How about Aaron Rodgers? He's tired of hearing about ahead of Sunday's showdown with Tampa Bay. You'll hear what he's sick of. Does he need to make a statement against the best defense in the sport? Plus, the ultimate test for Tua and the Dolphins. One member of our crew says they can beat Josh Allen this Sunday. You'll hear how right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Back on Get Up again. Aaron Judge hit his 60th last night. John Sterling, your wake-up call.
Swung on that. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast. His 60th home run of the year. Wow. Swung on, drilled to deep left. That ball is going to be gone. A grand slam to win the game. A Stantonian home run. What an inning.
It was Judgian, it was Stantonian, it was historic. If reaching 60 home runs isn't enough, by the way, Aaron Judge also took over the lead in the Triple Crown race, meaning he took over the batting average lead. He's the first player since Miguel Cabrera won it in 2012 to lead all three categories in September. He's the first Yankee to do it since Mickey Mantle won it in 56. Buster Olney earlier this morning said it's the greatest offensive season in baseball history. We'll have more Aaron Judge as we go. But speaking of legends, how about this weekend? We got Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady. Packers rebounding from an ugly week one by beating the Bears on Sunday night 27-10. Rodgers stopped by with our buddy Pat McAfee yesterday to talk about where this team stands in relation to last year. Listen.
First week to have major overreactions and write teams off completely is always a mistake, and it keeps happening every single year in our business. You know, there's some similarities to last year. Get blown out in week one, play a division opponent week two, go on the road week three against an opponent that is going to be favored, and we're not expected to win. And we need a Herculean effort to go down there and get the dub.
All right, so that's an absolutely accurate assessment. You can't argue with a word that he said. They did turn it around last year. We'll see if he can do it again. The schedule is eerily similar to what they were last year. They are right now a slight underdog on the road. And, oh, by the way, I mean, Tom Brady right now, in the absence of Mike Evans because of the suspension, might actually have far fewer weapons at his disposal this Sunday than Aaron Rodgers does. But what did you say to me in the meeting this morning about this game?
I think it's a statement game for the Packers. And we think about Aaron Rodgers when we think about the Packers, and I think we feel like they don't have anything to prove because of Aaron Rodgers, but this team feels like an entirely new team. The offensive line isn't as great as it was. We've chronicled the receiver issues that they've had, and right now I think not only do they need to prove it to us, they need to prove it to themselves that they are as competitive a team as we hoped that they would be. And that defense played better last week against a lesser offense, but that is the real question. That's where we thought that they were going to step up and take some of the slack off of Aaron Rodgers, that the defense can stop an opposing offense. They're going against Tom Brady with a depleted receiving core. This is an opportunity for them to have a low-scoring game and then put the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands at the end of that and hopefully overcome that outstanding Tampa defense.
Canty, I feel like you've been skeptical about the Packers this year. What can they prove to you Sunday?
They can prove to me that they can be productive offensively against a championship caliber defense. Mm-hmm. Right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is the best defense in football. They're the best scoring defense. They have the highest defensive EPA. They have the most sacks in football, and they're third in turnovers. This group can get after it. If this offensive line can hold up and keep Aaron Rodgers upright, then I think that Aaron Rodgers can make some strides in terms of being on the same page with those receivers and being able to generate points. But that's a big if, and there are a lot of question marks, and I don't know if they're going to get solved. We thought that Elgton Jenkins coming back to that offensive line on Sunday was going to be a great thing for them. Turns out he was a turnstile and led to a stat game for Travis Gibson. So that offensive line has got some serious problems. They're allowing the fifth most sacks per dropback, despite Aaron Rodgers having the fourth fastest snap to throw time. Hmm. That's a problem.
Yeah, they haven't gotten David Bakhtiari back yet. Mm-hmm. They do expect to at some point. What do you think, Kmart?
I am actually shocked. Dominique comes on here and is always tries to act like he's the voice of reason. Oh, what are you guys talking about? Leave that guy alone. Now all of a sudden, Dominique's like, Aaron Rodgers needs to prove to me and the Packers need to prove to us that they're a good team and they can make the playoffs. I don't know. I'm kind of like on Aaron's wavelength. Like, okay, it's week three. You know, like, this is a team, given their division, I'm not really worried about the Packers. I'm really not. Like, they could go down to Tampa where Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason under the sun, he does not play well in Florida. Like, he's 3-5 in the 8 games he's played in Florida. And since 2020, he's 0-2 and thrown 4 interceptions.
It was ugly the last time he was in Tampa.
I don't know why this guy who never throws interceptions, when he hits Florida, suddenly he doesn't know where his receivers are.
Explain yourself, Foxworth.
I don't get it.
I mean, I can explain myself. I can't explain how Kimberly characterized me. I did not say Aaron Rodgers needs to prove anything to anybody.
You said to us, I said the Packers.
I said this team. This is a statement game for this team. This is not the same team that
in
we've looked
three?
At the last couple. Yes.
When
yes,
you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, it's a statement game.
Absolutely.
In week three.
So week one was rough, and it was rough because of the reasons we expected it to be. Week two, they beat a team that no one thinks is going to be competitive, and this roster is not the same roster. So I believe that they are going up against a Super Bowl contender.
Yes.
They need to show that they can be competitive against that team.
But to
they
Aaron's
did it last
point,
year.
To Aaron's point, they started the season similarly. They made it to NFC
right.
title game,
because
right?
Because they won that game. That game was a catalyst
they did.
For
they
that.
Went to, they beat
that's,
San Francisco, yeah.
That's the point I'm making.
But
is
my,
this is the
my
same. I'm agreeing
is,
with Aaron.
My point is this week three to me is not the statement game.
It's okay to say you messed up.
No,
okay
I don't. No,
I'm,
I didn't.
I'm
in week three, I don't think it's a statement game. I think with Aaron Rodgers, you're already looking at, okay, we're going to the playoffs. Like, that's your mindset. So you're not thinking week three has to
but
be a
but it's about what you
game.
Do once you get to the playoffs, though, right? We're not judging
in
the Packers based on their regular
three.
Season.
If this is week
they've
11,
been Matt LaFleur, they've won 13 games every regular season. It's about what you do once you get to the playoffs, and the Bucs are going to be one of those teams that they could potentially match up against. And I'm sorry, the last time they saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs, it was in the NFC Championship game. It did not go well for Aaron Rodgers and company. So that's why I agree with Dom, even though that's an uncomfortable
exactly.
place to be. Uh-huh. In terms of
it's
this being a measuring stick,
right.
a measuring stick game for Green Bay.
Maybe if you're Rodgers, while they played on Sunday night, it was actually Monday night that made you feel better than anything else. Maybe the Vikings aren't as good as they looked against you in week one. And so to your point, maybe the division is the best thing they have going for them. We'll have much more on that as we continue. But we got really interesting college football games this weekend. In fact, we have three ranked versus ranked matchups coming up, including number 20 Florida visiting number 11 Tennessee. College Game Day will be there for that one. Florida has won 16 of the last 17 meetings between the schools, the only loss coming back in 2016. Another game we have, number 10, Arkansas, number 23, Texas A&M. They play that in Arlington. Arkansas won last year. That snapped a 9-game losing streak in that rivalry. And then we got number 5, Clemson, visiting number 21, Wake Forest. A very interesting and important game in the ACC. The Demon Deacons have lost 62 straight against top 10 opponents. That is the longest such losing streak by any program all time. So history says Wake has no chance. I'm not sure we think that's the case. The great Paul Feinbaum is with us, and Heather's with us here today. What is at stake here for Clemson this weekend? What happens if they lose this game?
If Clemson loses this game, then the ACC's place in the college football playoff becomes in jeopardy immediately. Because when you look at them, they need help then to win the Atlantic Division, and their schedule isn't great. They need Notre Dame and South Carolina to finish with respectable seasons in the CFP's top 25. Because you've got USC out there, you've got maybe Texas, other Power 5 conference champions with potentially better resumes.
Paul, how good is Clemson? That's one of the questions I think people have as we look at this thing. How good are they?
They're still a mystery. They haven't really done anything yet. And I'm going to go the Cliff Notes version. Heather's the kid at the front of the class answering the teacher's questions. If they lose this game, it's over. I don't care what South Carolina does. I don't care what Notre Dame does. Just cross off the ACC. Say a prayer for them.
Meaning if they lose, no one does. Wake Forest would be sitting there. But you're saying the entire conference's hopes ride on Clemson this Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, they are the best team in the conference. I know Wake Forest went to the championship game last year and they played Pittsburgh, but that's not last year. Clemson really is their shot. North Carolina is still cobbling a season together, but I'm just saving the folks in the back room the research probabilities. Don't worry about it. Clemson loses, move on.
Are they the best team in the conference? Because I haven't seen anything yet that shows that. They've been beating up on teams with the last name Tech so far. And they have a lot of questions in my mind. So they might not win this game. That's why we're having
conversation. Heather, I liked you a lot more when you were at home in the hinterlands than sitting there with Greeny at Seaport.
But we'll see. We brought out something in Heather Dinich, and I'd like to bottle it. In the meantime, let me show you the playoff predictor, okay? Because through the first 3 weeks of the season, and this is an interesting little note about the sport, there were three teams that our All-State playoff predictors say have a better than 66% chance, better than 2 out of 3 of making into the playoff in the end. We look at those three, obviously, it's the usual suspects, George. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. In your mind, Heather, which is the likeliest team to grab the fourth spot?
I'm going with USC of those choices because what we've seen from them explosively on offense is fantastic. When you look at, they've scored over 40 points per game in their first three games, which is remarkable. They've got playmakers everywhere, and we haven't seen anything from Michigan. I just said we haven't seen anything from Clemson, and so to me, they've got a great chance to represent the Pac-12.
Paul, USC, and by the way, we in the Big Ten already claim them.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And listen, what did Lincoln Riley do after he got the job? He went shopping. He had a big cat. Well, I don't know what he had, but he went out there and got the best players he could. He got one of the best quarterbacks, and he went to Pittsburgh. And however he got Jordan Addison, he got him, and it really matters. And he's got a really good team. The defense is still scary to me in terms of not having proven itself. They have to go to Utah, which is a much better team than we all thought 2 weeks ago after losing to Florida. But they've got a pretty smooth path ahead.
USC also, of course, has their traditional game with Notre Dame. So Notre Dame is going to wind up being important to a lot of other teams with how their schedule plays out, right?
Yeah, not to themselves. So it doesn't matter what happens with Notre Dame fans. But yeah, Ohio State needs Notre Dame to be good in case they lose to Michigan. Clemson, we mentioned, needs Notre Dame to be good. And USC needs them to be good because the selection committee answers one question. Who did you beat? Who at the end of the day is ranked in their CFP top 25? That carries a lot of weight.
All right. And so we have all those. Then, as I mentioned, we in the Big Ten, we can claim USC if we want to, but primarily we're excited about Ohio State and Michigan. They are both right now in the top 5. Is there a scenario, Heather, and what is it, in which both of them, as opposed to Paul's Alabama, Georgia, which we get every single year, show me a scenario in which I get 2 Big Ten teams in the Final Four?
Greeny, the most likely scenario is if Ohio State loses to Michigan and doesn't win the East. And that's because they still have that Notre Dame win if it's valuable.
But Michigan's non-conference schedule is so awful that if they lose to Ohio State and don't play in the Big Ten championship game, that's going to go under the microscope in the selection committee meeting room. And we are talking about number 79 overall in strength of schedule. Those three teams, I want to say Colorado State, Hawaii, and I'm missing the other one. Mm-hmm. They're 1-9,
yeah.
Greeny. They're the worst, some of the worst teams in ESPN's FPI. It's not going to get them there.
Paul, what will you do if Ohio State and Michigan wind up taking up half of the championship bracket?
I will jump in the river that's right outside your window. I don't think I'll be up there diving in as much as that would kill me. And one more thing, Heather, everyone wants Notre Dame to be good. They're not good. So let's move on from that as well.
Fair enough. Hey, one more. Do I have one more quick second for Paul? Did I hear you say Georgia's the new Alabama? Is Georgia the new Alabama? Did I hear you say that on your radio show?
You heard correctly, Greedy. And I mean, Georgia right now is a school that we all should be talking about ad nauseum because they are so good. And I didn't see this. I thought Alabama looked dominant, but Georgia looks better than last year, which is really hard to imagine because they had one of the iconic defenses in college football history. This year, their offense is explosive. They're deadly.
That's how you become the next Alabama. You put 15 kids in the draft and get better. That's what Nick has been doing for years. Well done. Paul, you come back a little bit later. In the meantime, back to the NFL. Oh, speaking of Alabama, Jalen Hurts had a big night the other night. It got the attention of everybody, including Jerry Jones. Are the Eagles the team to beat in the entire NFC? We'll answer that question next. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I'm Malika Andrews, and coming up on NBA Today at 3 o'clock Eastern, a very special guest joins us. He's a champion. He's an MVP. Giannis Antetokounmpo tells me why he may actually be the king of the NBA. You'll see what I mean at 3 Eastern on ESPN.
All right, that should be fun. And so is this. It's the game that's sweeping the nation. It's can he or can't he? Hey, Chris, can't he? Can Saquon Barkley win the rushing title? Can he or can't he?
He can't, G, and it doesn't bring me any joy to say this as a former Giant, but the usual suspects will be involved, Nick Chubb and Jonathan Taylor. But there's this guy in Detroit named DeAndre Swift. I don't know if people are paying attention to this dude. He's averaging 100 yards a game on 10 carries. That's 10 yards per carry. There were five 50-yard rushes or more this season. He's got two of them. DeAndre Swift will lead the league in rushing.
Oh, I like it. All right, next one. Can Micah Parsons win league MVP? Can he or can't he?
He can, G. And guess what? If he doesn't get the award, then it's official. It's just a quarterback award because the guy is number one in pass rush wins, and he's only got 49 pass rushes. He's leading the league in sacks. His pass rush win rate is by far the best by a country mile. Think about this, G. In one-on-one pass rush situations, Micah Parsons is winning three of four of those opportunities. Huh. The guy is unblockable.
And then finally, can Jalen Hurts lead the Eagles to the one seed in the NFC? Can he or can't he?
He can, G. Listen, this is the most complete team on this side of the bracket. And the only question coming into this season about the Philadelphia Eagles was Jalen Hurts going to be able to win consistently from the pocket? Could he throw it from the well, downfield, and outside of the numbers? Through the first two games, he's checked those boxes. And so the sky's the limit for the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a team that can not only win a division, but they can get into the tournament and make some noise.
Well, even his arch rivals are taking notice. Listen to Jerry Jones talking about Jalen Hurts.
Well, Hurd has really evolved and is better something when he came out that you might have thought. I was particularly impressed with his passing and watched every snap last night. And they're going to be all week now.
Oh, well, listen to how much it pains him.
Scared.
I wasn't ready.
It pains him to get that out. But earlier this morning, we talked about the Cowboys and how they are better than people thought. But the Eagles might be more better than everybody thought than almost anyone except this man who picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the season began.
Man.
Kmart, are the Eagles right this minute the team to beat in the entire NFC?
As much as it pains me to say this, but yes, no, Dominique may have, the first time he's been right about something. Yeah, no, I think Jalen Hurts was the biggest question mark heading into this season. And I don't know, if you are still doubting Jalen Hurts, I don't know what you've been looking at. This team can be the number one seed. This team can get to the end, can be the number one seed in the NFC. But the question for me that I have is, can Jalen keep it going? That's literally the only question that's out there. And as teams adjust, the same way we've seen Miami and Tua, teams will start adjusting to these offenses. And then how do Jalen and Tua counter-adjust?
Well, in what in particular? So, again, all the credit in the world, a victory lap. Dominique picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the season began, and through 2 weeks, it looks awfully good. But she's talking about adjustments. Yeah. So what is it that he's doing specifically that people didn't see coming?
This was the adjustment. When you played against him, the book on him was keep him in the pocket, play zone defense. That's exactly what the Vikings did all game, and he had quite possibly the best game I've ever seen him play by killing that zone defense from the pocket and occasionally getting outside the pocket when they dared to play man-to-man. So the next move, I think, is they're going to start blitzing him again. The problem with blitzing a player like him is he's a very smart player and he's also a very athletic player. Mm-hmm. That makes you vulnerable to bigger plays. He was comfortable picking apart a team slowly all the way down the field. That's normally what you want to do against a quarterback like him, is challenge him to continue to make accurate passes all game and make right decisions all game, and he did it.
You know, it's interesting. We use the term development. We talked about Kenny Pickett earlier this morning and other quarterbacks. He has gotten better at the things that were his weaknesses. Uh-huh. That is called development, right? That means he's doing it right and the coaching staff is doing it right. They may have something special working in Philadelphia.
No doubt, but we also got to say that the front office is doing it right too, because bringing A.J. Brown into that receiving core has changed the entire dynamic in that room. In that game on Monday night, Jalen Hurts receivers averaged over 4 yards of separation. So think about that. This guy is throwing from the pocket, but he's throwing to guys that can uncover down the field. And they made a living on those in-breaking routes too, those four routes. They made a living on being able to do that in those zone coverages. And Dominique talked about it. Vikings majored in cover two, cover four, cover six, and Jalen Hurts absolutely picked them apart. And I think that's the evolution of the player. So while we'll give him credit for working with Tom House out on the West Coast in terms of improving his overall mechanics, the organization went out and did the right thing in order to bolster the development of their quarterback.
Look, it's an organizational success story.
No doubt.
It doesn't happen
without
everyone. So it does lead to an interesting question, and I, of course, am the one who asked it on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. Once upon a time, these three guys were all on the same Alabama roster.
Wow.
We all remember Tua stepping in for Jalen Hurts in the national championship game, and Mac Jones was sitting behind them. People were saying Mac Jones should have transferred because he was sitting behind the two of them. The question is, right this minute, which of the three of them would you take if you're starting a franchise? Which of these three young quarterbacks, all of whom have shown you some stuff in the NFL, which of the three would you start a franchise with? And we all made our picks. Cindy, you could pop them up there. I think it's interesting to see where everyone went, because I think as recently as 2 weeks ago, I don't know how many people would have been riding with Hurts. But right now, you would start with Hurts ahead of Tua and Mac.
That's tough, because I was at that Dolphins game. I watched those six touchdowns. I watched them come back from the Ravens. But this past Monday night, I was talking to a defensive player during those games. We talked about Jalen, and he said, Jalen has an undeniable will to win. And I know that's an intangible and doesn't sound like much, but when I look at these quarterbacks, Jalen has the skill, but with confidence. He's not lacking confidence. When you have him as QB, you know that you have a shot to win. I just like his swag.
Why'd you go Tua?
Yeah, because I think the ceiling is higher. I think the floor is higher because of Hurts' running ability, but I think Tua's accuracy, anticipation, when it's right, the ceiling is higher for him, and I really like what he did last week. So we're all suffering a bit from recency bias, but y'all are worse than me.
No, I'm not suffering from recency bias. I'm not buying into Tua's 6-touchdown performance. Mitch Trubisky threw 6 touchdowns. Matt Flynn threw 6 touchdowns. I mean, you've had a lot of guys. Ryan Fitzpatrick from your Jets threw 6 touchdowns. Ain't none of them dudes franchise quarterbacks. But from what I've seen from Jalen Hurts, not only this first couple of games, but last year and taking that team to the playoffs and how he developed those last 2 months, I'm buying into this kid.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, this is, goes back to the Kenny Pickett conversation. This team is loaded. We just complimented the front office. A lot of why Jalen is better is because he worked with his negatives and made a better picture. Also, that offensive line had no pressure on him. They were protecting him all game. The defense was outstanding. The receiving core is incredible. Mm-hmm. I think that we have to take that into account, and it discounts his improvement slightly. I don't want to take anything away from it.
It's worth pointing out, we're going to come back to this. It's worth pointing out that teams were tanking for Tua. Jalen Hurts was a guy we were surprised went in the second round. Mm-hmm. We'll have more on this as we go. In the meantime, we're talking about another quarterback. Dak back sooner than we thought. What his stunning return might mean for the suddenly strapped NFC East. We're talking about it next. We're getting up with you on ESPN.